Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Back to losing money.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. This time last year, GM gave its shareholders a pleasant surprise. It made a profit. But this morning, GM reported a $3 billion loss for the first quarter. A strike at one of its suppliers was costly. So was GM's exposure to the Delphi bankruptcy. Plus, let's not forget, GM is having a pretty tough time selling cars, especially SUVs. ExxonMobil is having no trouble selling oil, even at high prices, and its profits are astronomical. But some Exxon shareholders are unhappy with the company. In fact, the family that founded Exxon, the Rockefellers, will go public today with complaints about Exxon's tactics on global warming. Jill Barshay reports.
The Rockefellers want to reduce the power of Exxon's CEO and bring in an outside chairman. Robert Monks is a shareholder who's been agitating for this change for years. He says the Rockefellers are angry Exxon's been funding think tanks to discredit global warming.
Exxon is enabled to go in public discourse and say the science is unsettled. Well, the science is unsettled because Exxon paid to have it unsettled.
Exxon is making big profits, but investors are worried it'll soon sell out of its oil. John Chung is the controller for the state of California, which has $4 billion invested in Exxon. He says the Rockefellers want Exxon to fund research now to make sure it'll have energy to sell tomorrow.
It's a major development. This is a resounding call for ExxonMobil to get up to date.
Shareholders hope to shake up Exxon's board at their annual meeting next month. I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
A lot of people say we're in a recession, but technically we're not unless GDP shrinks two quarters in a row. We'll get the GDP numbers within the next hour, and economists expect the economy grew 0.5%. That's not much, but it is growth. The revised numbers later on might tell a different story. Also today, the Fed is expected to lower interest rates one more time. A quarter point, and then probably call it quits for a while. The Fed's been cutting rates since September to stimulate the economy, but inflation has become a bigger concern. Some minor losses in the markets in Asia today. European shares are also down just a fraction. Yesterday, the Dow fell 39 points to 12,831. The NASDAQ added a point, and the S&P 500 lost 5. Today, the Senate holds a hearing on older workers. Some say companies aren't doing a very good job of hiring and retaining older people, and the whole economy is suffering because of it. Jeremy Hobson has more.
Stephen Sass with the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College says many retiring workers would prefer to stay on the job, and the private sector would benefit from keeping them there.
There's a real opportunity here. There's a supply of labor that we can access, and companies that figure out how they can use these workers effectively are at a competitive advantage.
The trouble for employers is that older workers can be expensive and ill-trained for the modern demands of their jobs. Eric Toder at the Urban Institute says things like phased retirement and flexible work schedules won't solve the problem entirely. Older workers may have to give up some benefits to remain competitive.
Pension systems and health benefits and so forth, we're going to have to make various fiscal adjustments.
Today's hearing will focus on the nation's largest employer, the federal government. Over the next 5 years, a third of the full-time federal workforce will reach retirement age. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
People call China the factory to the world, and that includes making flags. One factory in southern China was making these very colorful flags to ship out to other countries. The workers didn't know what the flags meant, but then they saw them on TV. They were Free Tibet flags. The workers alerted the Chinese government. This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, April 30th on Marketplace.org. Oil-rich countries are feeling pretty fat and happy these days. Their investment funds, called sovereign wealth funds, have so much money and so much power, other countries are getting worried. Today, the International Monetary Fund holds a meeting to try and figure out a code of conduct for these funds. Stacey Vanek-Smith has more.
Sovereign wealth funds have about $3 trillion in buying power, and half of the world is on sale, including the U.S. University of Texas securities law professor Henry Hughes says these funds have been buying up big chunks of major American companies.
In terms of the credit crisis, it's given particular opportunities to quickly take up large stakes.
Stakes in corporations like Citigroup, Merrill Lynch, and Morgan Stanley, which are crucial to U.S. economic stability. And that has some people worried, says Hugh Johnson with Johnson Illington Advisors.
There's a deepening worry that they'll use their financial clout to influence either individual corporations, their decisions, or even the markets generally.
The code of conduct would discourage sovereign wealth funds from using money to push political agendas, though there would be no way to enforce it. The funds are expected to balloon to $10 trillion over the next 5 years. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
The electronics company Siemens reported its profits today. They fell 67% last quarter. At the same time, an investigation is showing more evidence of corruption at the German company, and that could cost Siemens plenty here in the U.S. Stephen Beard reports from London.
Since the scandal broke 18 months ago, Siemens has tried to come clean. The company hired an American law firm to investigate. The allegations are of bribery on an industrial scale. It's claimed that Siemens employees paid $2 billion in bribes to get contracts in the developing world. The law firm has just published its interim report and, says Richard Milne of the Financial Times, it does reveal widespread corruption.
They found violations of the law in almost every division that they've looked at. And this is potentially could be very costly for Siemens, particularly in the U.S. with the SEC.
Siemens is listed in the U.S. and therefore subject to the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. This could lead to a fine of up to four times the size of the bribes. In Siemens' case, this could be a staggering $8 billion. The company says it hopes to negotiate a settlement. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The New York Restaurant Association will be in federal appeals court today. It's trying to stop New York City from requiring some restaurants to post calorie counts on their menus. A new study might support the restaurant group's defense. It suggests calorie information alone doesn't stop people from buying Big Macs and Whoppers. Elisa Roth reports.
The new study says if fast food is there, we'll eat it. Harold Goldstein is executive director of the California Center for Public Health Advocacy, one of the groups that did the study.
We're living in a junk food jungle, and not surprisingly, we're seeing rising rates of obesity and diabetes.
20% more diabetes and 23% more obesity, to be exact, compared to people who live in neighborhoods with a lot of supermarkets and produce stores. Goldstein says it doesn't matter how much money people make, what race or ethnicity they are, their ages, or how much they exercise.
So what this study shows is that whether we realize it or not, the food options available in our neighborhoods influence our health.
The study looked at 40,000 Californians, but Goldstein says the data will hold up anywhere in the country. Among other recommendations, he and his colleagues suggest cities limit the number of fast food restaurants and encourage groceries and other businesses that sell healthy food. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
The latest consumer confidence survey came out yesterday. Probably should call it the consumer anxiety survey right now. The number of people who said they were planning a summer vacation was the lowest in three decades. Obviously, gas prices are a big reason. Some politicians want to put the gas tax on holiday so people wouldn't have to pay the extra 18 cents a gallon this summer. But commentator Robert Reich doesn't like it.
Talk about a dumb idea. It will only encourage Americans to drive more, thereby increasing demand and causing gas prices to rise even higher. Driving more will also put more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, which fuels global warming. And this will cost taxpayers some $10 billion. It's a cheap political gimmick that does nothing to stem the rising price of oil. You want to hold oil prices down, in the short term, strengthen the dollar. Part of the reason oil prices are soaring is because the dollar is tanking. The Treasury and financial ministries of other rich countries should buy back dollars to stop speculators who are bidding the greenback down. Over the longer term, though, China and India's insatiable demand for oil will continue to drive oil prices up, and turmoil in the Middle East is likely to keep them up. So there's really only one way for us to go: alternative sources of energy, wind, solar, biomass, water, and, if we can make it safe enough, nuclear. Why aren't oil companies investing in these alternatives? They have more money now than they know what to do with. But basic research is too risky. And why should we expect them to invest in alternatives to oil anyway? They aren't even putting that much into oil exploration. They figure the best way to keep their stock price high is to use their windfall profits to buy back their shares. Now, this may be good for their shareholders, but it's terrible for America. That's why it's time for a windfall profits tax on oil companies to finance our way to sensible and sustainable sources of energy. Forget the summer tax holiday on gas. We need a permanent holiday from oil.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. His latest book is called Super Capitalism. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.